Second chapter of Joshua. As time has gone on, and if you want to write that down, that was Genesis 38, because I know I can look at some of your faces, you're saying, I don't think that story's in my Bible. But it's in there. Trust me, it's in there. Joshua and the entire army of Israel were about to cross the Jordan. They were about to cross into the promised land. Moses had been leading them for 40 years. He had been preparing them for this moment. And there they stood on the banks. And Joshua said, okay, now we can't just go charging in there. We're going to send a couple of spies in. We're going to check everything out. Go to Jericho, because see, Jericho is a fortified city. It's a tough place, and that's where we're going to start. And so they sent the spies in, and they went into the home of a woman named Rahab. And Rahab was a prostitute. She let these men in. They discussed everything that was going to be going on. All of a sudden, Rahab gets word. I guess she had, like, Verizon or something. She gets word that the city officials are coming. They have gotten news. They have gotten word that there are spies in the city, and they're going to kill them. So she says to the men, go up on the roof, and they go up on the roof, and she covers them with flax. And then she goes back downstairs, knock on the door, opens the door, and they say, where are the spies? I don't know what you're talking about. There were spies here. Nope, not here. Oh, no, there were spies. We heard about it. Go, oh, yeah, you know, there were, but they left. They went over the wall. They're gone. And so sure enough, she then helped these men down over the wall. But she said to them, when you come back, promise me this. You will not kill me or anyone in my family. And they made her a promise, and she helped them get away. And of course, we know the story. Joshua and the army of Israel came in, marched around Jericho 7 times in 7 days. And on the 7th day, they marched around 7 whole times, and they blew the trumpet, and the walls fell down. And they went in, and they killed every living thing, everything that breathed, except Rahab and her family. And according to the history books, Rahab then married a man named Salmon. And together they had a child named Boaz, who became instrumental in the story of Ruth. Now let me see what we've got here. We've got two women that we've talked about so far. One dressed up like a prostitute so she could have sex with her father-in-law and have a child. And the second one was a prostitute and ended up saving the spies of Israel. That's what we have so far. And then came Ruth. It's a beautiful story. We love this story. We quote parts of this story when we get married. Entreat me not to leave you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. We say this, man to woman, but it was actually a daughter-in-law speaking to her mother-in-law. She was from Moab. And according to Psalm 68, Moab is the wash pot of God. The wash pot. Moab was stinky poo. And anyone who came from Moab was stinky poo. Do you know where Moab even came from? Do you remember the story of Lot and his daughters and his wife? And Sodom and Gomorrah was falling, and they're running out of the city because Abraham, being the true Jew that he was, had dealt with God. If they're 45 people, if they're 40, if they're 35, if they're 30, all the way down, if they're 5 people, you know, and God said, okay, if they're 5 people, yes, we'll let them out. Okay, so these 5 people, or actually 4 people, go out. But what did his wife do? She turned around, and she looked, and she became a pillar of salt. That left Lot and his 2 daughters in a cave. And the 2 daughters are talking one night, there are no men in the cave but our father. And this is going to pretty much limit us to ever being able to have children, unless we get him drunk and we sleep with him. And we will do this, and then we will have our children. And when this did happen, the oldest daughter gave birth to a son named Moab. And from him came the Moabites. Now, the Moabites and the Israelites never got along. Never, never, never got along. There was always an enmity between the two of them. So when Ruth's father-in-law and mother-in-law and the two sons left Bethlehem to go to Moab. This was real. This was like, you talk about saying, God, I don't have faith in you. This was, I don't have faith in you. I'm going to Moab. It looks better there. It looks easier there. I know it's stinky poo. I know it's your wash pot. I know how the people began. I know we don't get along, but this is where I'm going. And this is where they went. And the sons died and the husband died. And here is Naomi with these two daughters-in-law. And she said to them, I am too old to have sons. To bring them up so you can marry. Go back to your father's houses. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. And so this woman, and she could not have been more than a girl. Let me tell you how I know that. Because girls got married at about 12 or 13 years of age in those days. And they had their children right away. There was no pill. There was no over-the-counter drug or anything else. And so they had their children right away. And the fact that she didn't have children yet tells me she was young, very young. And she is going into a land where people are going to hate her based on who she came from, her people, her land. Very few of us have probably ever experienced that kind of prejudice. I mean, we experience some prejudice, but we have probably never experienced that kind of prejudice. Be the only Moabite in Bethlehem. And to be completely responsible for feeding your mother-in-law. And so she goes into the fields of a man named Boaz, whose mother had been Rahab. And she gleans behind the workers. She just picks up the seeds very quietly. And here comes Boaz, and she must have been really pretty because Boaz spotted her immediately. And he was an older man. In fact, he even calls her my daughter. He sees her and says, who is this? So that's Naomi's daughter-in-law. He says, okay, don't let anybody touch her. Don't let anybody hurt her. Make sure she gets a little extra grain every now and then. You see, she was a sitting duck out there. She really was. This was faith, probably unlike anything we have ever experienced, to go out there day after day and pick up those little seeds. So one day, her mother-in-law, and if you want to turn to Ruth, the third chapter, her mother-in-law says, you know,